Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. As you listen to this program, I know you keep hearing repetition over and over again. Conversion. Look at your heart. Change your motives. Look at what you're doing. Are you serving self or are you serving God? Are you serving the poor? Are you serving His people? What are you doing with the gifts you have been given? Are you using this Lent to draw closer to Him or not? What are you doing? Don't let it slip by you. These are precious days of grace. Grace is God sharing Himself with us. That's what grace is. He shares His own divine life with us to draw us upward and closer to Him. Receive that grace. Don't ignore that grace. Please. The prophet Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season. Ooh, look at that. One who seeks his strength in flesh ends up like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Sterile. Dried up. Barren. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. More torturous than all else is the human heart, beyond remedy. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. God loves you. God wants to work with you and work in you, work through you. You don't want to be barren. You don't want to be like a wasteland. You don't want to be earth that's full of salt that therefore can produce nothing good, no fruit. Please ask God to take over your life during this Lent. Follow Him as closely as you can, day by day by day. Through the readings, ask Him to help you. Show Him how you see what your major area of sin is. Ask Him to help you with that. To change one thing, as you change one thing and then another, eventually the sin is gone because the soil has changed. That's what God wants to do for you. You put your energy into all kinds of things. Why not put your energy into what is eternally fruitful? And it can make the difference for you between heaven and hell. It really can. Brothers and sisters, the Lord so loves us, and He's equipped us and will bestow upon us absolutely everything that can make our lives fruitful, full of beautiful fruit, running water, beautiful. Everything that gets planted bears fruit. That's what God wants in your life and in my life. But to do so, we can't take a little bit of the arid and barren soil and expect that fruit's going to grow out of it. We need to put ourselves under His authority. Let Him irrigate the land of our lives. Make it have the potential for fertility and growth as the seeds are planted. Psalm 1, blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord, not in self, but in Him. That's what we want to be. For cursed is the man who trusts in man, who seeks his strength in flesh. It's not going to serve you. It's going to betray you. You don't want that. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord, who learn taking time with the Lord, who learn where their strengths are and where their weaknesses are. And they put their hope in the Lord to overcome what needs to be overcome and to cultivate what needs to be cultivated. In the gospel, today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. And when the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he cried out, 'Father, Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus.'" See, he still wants Lazarus to serve him. "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." Jesus rose from the dead, and many did not accept him. Most did not accept him. They ridiculed and mocked and killed him. When our lives are steeped in sin, when our lives are steeped in self, we can't not even recognize when the miraculous is in our midst. Really, brothers and sisters, really, even our physical sight is affected by the level of our sin. Do you recognize God's presence in your life? Are you aware of it? Are you actively seeking to follow him? Are you bringing before him the needs and the problems of your day? Are you seeking his direction? Or are you just relying on yourself? When you have family difficulties or challenges, are you coming to him seeking help? Seeking to be shown the way? Willing to be shown the truth? Willing to repent for your own mistakes? When God has a repentant people, he could do anything anyway. But when God has a repentant people, people who have admitted their sin, oh my goodness, can he use them? Can he use them? If someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. No, that's just not true. I wish it were, but it's not true. Jesus, Abraham, in this gospel passage, says, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Brothers and sisters, if we turn off truth from one source, we'll turn it off from other sources, and we end up living in lies or half-truths. We live in very compromised positions. A little of this and a little of that. We think we're okay. I pray so much for all of you during this season of Lent, because our tendency, I think, is to judge or to determine the worth of another by the world's standards. So often I hear people say, oh, well, they're a good person. They're a good person, which might mean they're kind or they're generous or they're this. But that alone, an act of kindness or an act of generosity, does not make you good. It's God who makes you good. It's living in God's presence. It's desiring to follow God. That's what reshapes us and reforms us. And we share. It's not like I'm a good person. What happens is that we share in the very goodness that's God Himself. That is God Himself. We begin to share in His life because He desires to impart. He wants to share His whole life with us. The problem is we don't want to share our whole life with Him. The most we'll give Him, in many cases, is an hour a week at church. And we don't think about God, we don't pray, we don't do anything in the intervening days. How committed are you? How clearly are you following Him? I keep saying this, and I know you've heard these questions before and over again, but I'm so praying for you, all of you, that the information that comes into the head moves to the heart. And it affects your decisions. It affects your actions. It affects your goals. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you to just pray for a few moments a day as though that was an isolated act. You're either drawing closer to God or you're drawing away from Him. There's no flat ground where you can stand in a kind of neutral position. You are either going forward by loving Him, following Him, and desiring to serve Him more and more, or you're receding. You're going backwards. There's no stable middle where you can stand and be safe. Brothers and sisters, it's very, very important during this Lent that we come to terms with that, so that all of these passages, all the things that we're reading, we can really take a look at our own hearts and our own lives and say, where am I failing? Be honest, because God will not reprimand. When somebody says, I'm failing in this area and I need your help, God will come with help. That's His mercy. He will come with great help. We just need to be honest. God needs a holy people, brothers and sisters. He needs us to be holy. The question is whether we're going to respond to Him, or maybe not put it off, but maybe procrastinate. I'll think about that next week, next month, next year. Maybe we don't have a next week, a next month, a next year. Please heed the Lord. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The mercy of God and the joy repentance brings. God bless you.